I went and pulled a book off the shelf, one that I had been meaning to read, but instead of opening the book to the first page of the first chapter, I turned to the acknowledgments page. Now, if I'm honest, I never read the acknowledgments. I will, you know, skim the table of contents. I'll glance at the dedication page. Sometimes I read the preface, but I never read the acknowledgments. But it's that section where the author thanks everybody who helped her write the book. And in this particular book, the acknowledgments was multiple pages long. She started by thanking the editor and the publisher. But then she went back and thanked every person over the course of her lifetime who shaped her thoughts, views, and perspectives on the subject of the book. That she talked about people in every stage of her life, going all the way back to childhood. And after I finished, I thought to myself, not only are the acknowledgments important, but also they might be the most important part of the book. Because there are those people who have shaped us into who we are, as people and as a church. That they are the people who picked us up when we had fallen down. They are the people who celebrated us whenever we rejoiced. They are the people who cautioned us to rethink our decision. And they are the people that encouraged us to act whenever we felt tentative, that they loved us into who we are. And we hold on to them, even when they are gone. That Jesus invited the disciples to follow me. And they left their lives behind and they embraced this new life together. That they were formed and shaped by the shared journey. That they spent time with Jesus and with one another, thinking about the things that mattered the most and being stretched beyond where they thought they needed to be. And then in the Gospel of John, Jesus turns to them and says, I'm leaving. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. But they were troubled. They didn't know what they were going to do. So Jesus tries to reassure them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. That it was a welcome mat kind of goodbye. That yes, I'm leaving, but I'm going to prepare a place for you in God's dwelling places to welcome you there. But all the disciples heard was goodbye. And Thomas spoke up. We don't know where you're going. How will we know the way? And Philip raised his hand. Well, can't you just show us the Father and then we'll be satisfied? But Jesus kept saying, I go to prepare a place for you. But what would happen between the current goodbye and the future welcome? And that is the question which lingered in the air for the early church. And 1 Peter kept trying to reassure the early church that there will be times where, like infants, we will cry out for help. But when we do, we should not go looking for just any solution. That it's like those first-time parents who are in the hospital on that very first night, and in the middle of the night, their beautiful child wakes them up crying and screaming, and they panic, they rush, and they push the nurse's call button, and she comes running down the hallway as fast as she can, and she swings over the door to the hospital room and says, "What's wrong?" And they say, "Why is our child crying?" Well, it can only be a few things, right? Child needs to be held, to be fed, or to be changed. That we don't just go looking for any solution. And for the early church and for us, it may sound too simple to be true. But we simply continue to follow Jesus as we are formed and shaped by the shared journey. That we are formed into living stones. As 1 Peter says, once we were not a people, but now we're the people of God. Once we had not experienced mercy, but now we have experienced mercy. That we are fashioned into a refuge for ourselves and for others. That we become a place of renewal and redemption. And that we are made into an outpost for the steadfast love of God. One of the real dangers, though, for the church is where we focus so much on the place that Jesus goes to prepare for us that we fail to see the place that is being formed by the ways of Jesus right now. That we might be tempted to focus on that place that Jesus goes to prepare for us because it does not face the same challenges or concerns as the church does right now. There is the fear of the unknown. There is the threat of change. And there are the mistakes that we might make. But there is also the beauty of forgiveness, commitment, and hope. Diana Butler Bass tells this story about traveling in England. She was in the region called the Cotswolds, beautiful countryside, and she and a friend one afternoon went on a walk on a public trail. And as they were walking, they were talking about life and faith, everything we find between that goodbye and welcome. And then the trail came to this fenced-in pasture that the trail seemingly came to an end. But they noticed there was a gate in the fence that opened up where you could walk across this pasture, and on the other side, the public trail resumed again. And there was no sign saying no trespassing. They weren't breaking any rules. But there was a sign that said, "Beware of the bull." And they were more than a little nervous. I can just imagine them standing up on the side of this fence, peering out over it, looking at the entire pasture, trying to find the bull, and then plotting a safe passageway across the pasture. Now, they could have stayed right there, or they could have turned around and gone back the other way. But instead, they opened the gate to that fence, spotting the bull on the far side of the pasture, and they just kept their eyes fixed on it, holding their breath as they walked across the pasture, watching to see if the bull would move, and he just stood there eating grass. That there are concerns and fears between that goodbye and welcome. That there are the hurdles of a shared journey. That we might be nervous. That if we make a commitment, where that commitment might lead us. Or we might be afraid to be known by others and what they might think. We might be nervous about showing compassion to others and getting hurt in the process. Or we might be afraid to brush up against our limits or to be stretched beyond them. But what looks like a threat on the other side of the pasture might also be a gift as it focuses our attention and makes us more mindful on what we are doing and why we are doing it. That despite those concerns and fears, we continue to be formed into living stones by the ways of Jesus on the shared journey. And yes, construction is difficult. It is hard and challenging. It is taxing and time-consuming. But once a house is finished, it can become a home. Once the ribbon is cut, a hospital can start healing people. Once a business opens its doors, it can serve a community. And when we come together as living stones, we can be fashioned into a place of refuge, mercy, and hope, where the place that Jesus goes to prepare for us is evident to us even now, that it is already here. As we bear one another's burdens and we forgive without resentment, as we lean into humility, as we practice the gift of patience, as we redeem our insecurities and fears, where we just might discover the full reach of the steadfast love of God. Amen.